And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Nothing, man. I'm just midweek where the games are getting close. I'm going to start to feel them and ready to start previewing some SEC action.
Hell yeah. I was just wishing that we'd had some more Thursday night games, but I guess we're not. So
well, South Carolina's big time now. They moved off to Thursday. They're on Saturdays exclusively now.
I know, man. I got to fill this void. We got any college ball on tonight? I need
there might be some action out there, but I think we'll just have to live with reruns of Hard Knocks for now.
I got you, brother. I got you.
All right, speaking of some SEC football, these comments kind of struck a chord with Shane and I because it seemed like heading into the year, Big Ten was getting all the attention. A lot of people outside the SEC saying the Big Ten's the best. You know, they proved to be a damn flop week one. But the offense seems to be back in the SEC. Derek Mason had some interesting comments on just the explosive offenses we saw week one. So we're going to jump right into this. Here's Mason talking about his thoughts as a defensive guy and just the offense in the SEC this year.
All the offenses in this conference are explosive and capable of having explosive plays, explosive days, because they have explosive players. So that doesn't surprise me. I think in this conference, it's only going to get better. And you know, if people want to underestimate the offensive firepower in the SEC, well, then you go ahead and do that. I mean, you'll find out when you play some of these teams exactly what they're capable of. I mean, you saw the explosion down there with LSU. I mean, they haven't been able to score like that, you know, in the last couple of years. So, you know, like, that was nice to see. Shout out to young Burrow. Haven't seen him since he was 8 years old, but I know him well. So I just think this conference is getting better, you know, all the way around. You got good quarterbacks, you got great skill players, you got teams capable of putting up 30 plus points a week. So it's going to be interesting to see this fall.
So, all right, Shane, are you buying it that offense is back in the SEC?
Hell yeah, I'm buying it. I'm telling you, man, they looked good week one, SEC did. I mean, all 13 teams that came out, they won, they got the job done. And Big Ten, you know, kind of disappointed. You had the Penn State, you had the they struggle against App, and then you got
Michigan got their ass kicked.
Exactly. I mean, that's all we were hearing in the offseason, just how great Big Ten is going to be this year. And
Michigan State and, almost lost. You remember that on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, they underperformed. And SEC, other than the Tennessee Volunteers, you know, looked pretty good week one. And the offense was the main part. You know, you think of SEC, you think tough gridiron defenses, you know, but there was a lot of teams hanging some points up early this week.
Yeah, as soon as we got on air, we were talking about this. Five of the SEC West teams scored at least 47 points. That's pretty remarkable. And six SEC East teams scored at least 35.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you what, man, I mean this is all I know is SEC football, and this is by far the best offense I have seen.
You're not the only one to say it, because Coach O, he made similar comments to Derek Mason on the latest SEC coaches teleconference. So here's Coach O talking about the explosive offenses there this year he's seen in the SEC.
Yeah, I looked at the stats today, and 33 is about, I think it's about seventh. It's incredible. The guys have scored 59 points. Obviously, an explosive lead, but they also some great defenses. I think everything's going to kind of match up when we start to play each other. Obviously, there were some mismatches at the beginning of the year. I think that when you get into SEC places, play, there's some great defenses, some great offenses. It should be fun to watch.
All right. And remember, the key thing he said, in my opinion, was that LSU scored 33, and that was only seventh best in the league, which is pretty remarkable.
Isn't that though? I mean, 33. Even Vandy hung 30 points, you know. I mean, so I think all the off. I mean, you think about it. Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, even Arkansas. You know, these guys were putting up some mad points. So, obviously, I think that's going to slow down a little bit when we get into conference play. But, you know, it's a good showing for the league.
All right, Shane, the game that we've been hyping up all week, we got Georgia at South Carolina during the SEC teleconference. Will Muschamp was asked about it. You know, he was asked what most concerns him about Georgia's offense. He listed pretty much every position, every player. So here's the old Muschamp on what worries him the most about Georgia.
Well, they have a massive offensive line. You know, you look on the right side of their offensive line, 6'7 plus, 340 plus. You know, Lamont's a really good athlete, a guy that was really recruited as a defensive lineman, but he's very athletic as a center, but also another 300-plus pounder. And then Andrew Thomas played really good football for him last year as a right tackle, and now playing left. And Kinley's been a really good player for them inside. A lot of speed on the field. Terry, you know, Tyler Simmons runs well. Jeremiah Hallman runs well. You know, Ridley's been a really good player for them. Demetrius Robertson showed his speed last week, and Miko's been a very explosive guy. Crumpton's done a nice job in the slot for him. So they have a lot of speed on the field. All those guys play special teams. They can threaten you in the middle with Nader or Warner. Both of those guys are quality players that have played really good football for them. And, you know, you have a quarterback in Jake Fromm that led you to a national championship game and an SEC championship as a true freshman. Very poised. Extremely accurate with the football, and a stable of backs, and you know, led by Swift, who I think really improved his lower body. Looks like he's running through contact better than he even did a year ago, which he did well a year ago. But he's got good top end speed, and Holyfield and Herrien and those guys complement him extremely well.
All right, Shane, just Will Muschamp. Does you think he should be as nervous as he is heading into this one?
For once, you know, you hear these coaches pumping up these other teams. For once, this one's spot on because. This is going to be the toughest, probably the toughest team he plays this year. Well, I mean, Clemson, but I don't know. I still like Georgia more than I do Clemson. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is for real. This roster's got a lot of NFL players on it. And, yeah, he should be a little worried.
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of noted several stats on the last episode of just reasons why South Carolina could win this game. But I'm not a big believer in what's happened in the past and trends, you know, that – South Carolina may have won 3 out of 4 at home and 3 of the 4 on week 2 or whatever, but that really has nothing to do with this game. Obviously, they get the home field advantage. That could be key, especially if they disrupt Georgia early on, get that crowd going. I think that certainly can play a factor, but that's not always the be-all, end-all for me. But it's clearly something to watch here, and Muschamp is clearly worried about facing this high-powered Georgia offense. All right, so speaking of Georgia, David Pollack had some interesting comments that we caught on to today. And this was, he was speaking on the Florida-Kentucky game, and obviously the 31-year streak there. So here's Pollack on his thoughts on whether that streak can come to an end this year.
You know, a couple years ago, it took a delay a game that didn't happen for Florida to extend it. Remember a couple years ago? I it's not going to happen, Paul. I don't see it happening. I mean, I can sell you all you want, Paul, and try to tell you that Stoops has done a great job, and he has done a great job, and Benny Snell can tote the rock and maybe play keep away. Dan Mullen's going to have an offense. We know that. I think Kentucky loses again, and the streak continues, and I'm sorry, Kentucky fans, but the good news is basketball is not too far around the corner.
All right, Shane, Pollock's laughing it off like he laughed off Jeremy Pruitt. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't hate anybody, you know. I try not to. But David's just one of those guys that I've never liked, you know. I mean, he's down there in Georgia and kicked our ass every year, and finally he gets out, and then he comes back to broadcasting. It's like, oh, man, he's never going to leave. So, and he's obviously he touched the Tennessee fan base this offseason. So, but he's right. I mean, where is he? Hell, I don't know. I mean, I think if Kentucky is going to ever have a chance to break this record or this series, it's got to be this year, you know. But David tried. I mean, you could tell he was trying to make it, you know, where they had a shot, but he's all in on Florida. So.
Yeah, and a lot of people are, especially after Felipe Franks, you know, his huge game against Charleston. He, you know, I kind of made fun of some people on Reddit for saying Felipe Franks the next Heisman winner, but I mean, he looked like it against, of course, it was against Charleston Southern. This game will tell us a lot more about Felipe Franks, but that was kind of Dan Mullen's message during the SEC teleconference on Wednesday. He was just asked, you know, his thoughts on Felipe Franks and his big performance, and I thought these comments from Mullen were pretty good, so we're going to play this and then we'll discuss it.
His job's to manage the game, you know, and execute what we call and what we do within the game, and he understands that. You know, I mean, one of the things is hey, you know, when we talk about you're as good as your last play, you know, and you're really, and you're only going to be as good as your next play. And so, you know, I mean, part of that right now is he had a good game last week, put up some good numbers. And so I'm sure, like, his Twitter and his comments and everybody talks about him are really good. And if he wants to keep him good, continue to manage the game and perform well. And if you want people to talk poorly about you, go throw a couple picks, and then they'll start bashing you. But that's how life kind of works. I mean, to me, it is, you know, spend all your time on evaluating your performance. What the outside world thinks and comments on you, especially at the quarterback position, is completely irrelevant because, you know, they're not in watching the film. They're not in studying and breaking down every aspect of your performance of what you did well, what you did poorly. A lot of it, they just look, you know, is statistically at the end of the game, what's your stat line?
All right, Shane, so Dan Mullen sounds like he's had to build Felipe Franks up, and now he's trying to build him down after his big performance.
Yeah, just, you know, you don't want to get the big head because one thing, he came out, he was efficient, you know, and that's what Dan ultimately wants. He wants a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, makes the smart plays. You know, you don't want a quarterback just coming out thinking he can gunsling, because that's what he did last year and it got him in trouble. So I think that's kind of the approach he's taking this week.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to go about it, because I think Franks has got a real, I would think, a fragile mind state. And I think you kind of saw that the first week where, you know, he was having a big game, but Dan was there trying to dance with him on the sidelines, trying to loosen him up. I think he's still trying to figure out Franks and how to push his buttons and how to work with him on game day. Obviously, what they're doing is working, but, you know, I think everything works when you're kicking ass, winning by 50 points. When you're in a conference game that, you know, the spread may be, I think it's 13.5 right now, but I think it's a lot closer game than that. Things can get heated. They've got to know how to communicate. So I thought this was kind of an interesting comment here.
Yeah, well, and two, I kind of like how he's talking about, you know, a quarterback doesn't just work when he's on the field. When he's off the field, he's talking, he's communicating with the coaches, because he may see things out there on the field that maybe the staff's not picking up, you know. So, I mean, he's an extra coach. And if I think that's kind of what Dan's trying to get out of him, say, you know, I want you to go out there, I want you to be efficient, I want you to make smart plays, but when you come back, I need you to tell me what you're seeing out there so we can put you in a better situation next series, you know?
Yeah, and speaking in a better situation, this is unfortunately the opposite for Tennessee, because it was announced today, and Jeremy Pruitt just confirmed that Brandon Kennedy, the starting center, is out for the season. He got hurt in Tuesday's practice. So thoughts on Kennedy being lost for the year?
Sucks, man. Yeah, I mean, a center is such a big piece of that line, you know. And you know, a lot of people were coming out saying, you know, Kennedy was doing this and doing that. And, you know, it's kind of hard to tell if you don't know, you know, what the scheme was drawn up. I mean, it may look like Kennedy missed a block, but he may not have been required to block that guy. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into being on the offensive line. And you see a sack, the first thing you do is blame the guy that he's in front of. So, needless to say, you know, this offensive line is new, you know, and they were, if you noticed in the game, they were getting a little bit better toward the end. Now they're going to be shuffled around again. And granted, they do have ETSU and UTEP coming up. So hopefully by the time Florida comes in town, they'll have that offensive line figured out. But definitely a huge loss, and I hate to hear it.
Yeah, and for anyone that's saying that Brandon Kennedy is not that good anyway, that should kind of tell you what they've got behind him, because obviously these coaches know what they're doing when it comes to starting the best player. So if you're going to trash Brandon Kennedy, I got bad news for you. The guy behind him is probably not anywhere close to his level, I would think.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, he was also obviously on the SEC teleconference on Wednesday, and he was asked an interesting question here, so we're going to play this clip, and then we'll discuss it.
When you think about running through the tee at Neyland Stadium for the first time this Saturday, does that give you a little bit of chicken skin?
A little bit of what?
A chicken skin, you know. You know what I'm making reference to when I say chicken skin? You're a Southern boy.
I ain't got no idea.
The goosebumps, man, you know. The hair raises up on your arms.
Well, I tell you what, before any game, it's really why you put in all your work, you know, in the off seasons, what you work for is for the games. So, to me, I think, yeah, definitely running out on Neyland Stadium. I get goosebumps when we run out on the practice field. So, I like to compete. I like to watch our players compete and see how we improve. And we have a lot to improve on and a lot to prove. And trying to create an identity for our football team.
All right, Shane, so have you ever heard of this damn chicken skins?
No, dude, I'm as country as it gets, and I ain't ever heard that one, so that's a new one on me. That's something at Alabama talk, so I don't know. Goosebumps, what they call it up here.
Yeah, and Brewitt says he gets the goosebumps when he goes out on the practice field, so I think that kind of tells you all you need to know about him. And you know, if this chicken skins is actually something people says, I was kind of surprised that Pruitt never heard of it, but it must not be very popular vernacular.
No.
All right, Shane, jumping to Alabama.
Roll Tide!
They've got another matchup this week with a team feeling pretty good about themselves. they're playing Arkansas State, and here's a clip from Arkansas State quarterback and one of their receivers talking about their confidence heading into this Alabama game.
Obviously, good team, good program. Have a lot of respect for what they've done. But we got them Saturday, so we're ready to prepare.
It's just another game. I know we got one of the best receiving corps in the nation. So, I mean, if we go out there and play how we can play, the sky's the limit for our group. Sky's the limit for our offense. And the sky's the limit for our team. Definitely confident.
All right, Shane, you can't blame these guys for, you know, what else are they going to really say? But I don't know about this one.
Louisville just did this, guys, and you're not better than Louisville. So I doubt they're going to be hanging anything on the wall to stay motivated against this, guys. But, I don't know, man. That's it's a bold take, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. You may not know this, but Arkansas State put up over 700 yards of offense last week. So I think it kind of explains a little bit of their confidence. I think this is a different level than Louisville, where Louisville was kind of calling out Alabama. I think this is just a team, expressing how confident they are in themselves going into the year. So I don't take any issue with this one, but at the same time, it just seems like everyone's getting, they get, the media treatment when they're right before they're facing Alabama, because it's just like pigs to the slaughter, man. You want to hear what these guys have to say before facing their inevitable fate.
Well, yeah, and this is a different type of offense they're going to be facing too. I mean, they run that no huddle, hurry up style offense, and they're going to throw the ball. So, I mean, the defensive backs are going to get some exercise Saturday, because they're going to be running around everywhere. But I don't think it's obviously going to be a ball game, but it's definitely going to be good practice for, you know, some of the teams that they got to face this coming up year, you know.
All right, Shane, moving to Starkville.
Where Nick... Real quick, do you think they're going to pull a Virginia Tech? You think Bama will start faking injuries and slowing this thing down?
No, I don't think that'll be necessary.
Okay, just curious.
All right, Shane, moving down to Starkville, where Nick Fitzgerald met with the media today, and he was suspended for the season opener there, and he had some pretty interesting comments where, obviously, he was the scout team quarterback for Mississippi State, and he basically said he took it upon himself to train the defense to face a quarterback that was going to be better than the one they were going up against in Stephen F. Austin, and I thought that was pretty interesting. So here's Nick Fitzgerald on just his preparation last week.
It was rough. Take full responsibility for the reasons why I was out.
I embraced my role as scout team quarterback whenever I was in there, just try to give the defense the best luck I possibly could, make sure that hopefully I was doing it better than their quarterback was, so you know, they had a harder look at practice than they did in the game. Just kind of embrace that leadership role through that way.
So what do you think, Shane? Yeah, you're not going to face a better scout team quarterback than old Nick Fitzgerald.
Hell no, you ain't. And I'll tell you, man, this is a good point. Something I've never really thought about, but, you know, if you think of teams like Alabama and Georgia and Auburn and all these teams that come out humming at the beginning of the season, and how's the defense so efficient? Well, maybe it has something to do with the talent they have on the quarterback side, you know, because if they're going against somebody that could potentially start at another team, you know, that may be their toughest opponent is in practice, you know. So I never thought about that, but that's a good point. So maybe that's why. I mean, granted, they didn't have a really tough opponent, but if you know that defense was looking really good.
Yeah, Bob Stoops' unit had 17 tackles for loss, so you know, after he left Knoxville, he turned back into one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only other note, this is kind of comical. It's not really too big importance, but Nick Fitzgerald was asked about if he's been hit since the Egg Bowl when he suffered his injury, and, you know, he was pretty honest. So here's Fitzgerald on taking his first hit of the season.
Have you taken any hits since camp started?
I have not.
Thanksgiving was the last time you got hit?
Absolutely.
Are you a little nervous about that, or are you ready
for
it?
No, not nervous at all. I just know how sore I'm going to be the next day and have my body not having to gone through any contact yet.
All right, Shane, does it concern you at all that, Nick's not been touched? That Kansas State defense will be coming for him.
Not really. I mean, I don't think he's going to be touched too much this week, you know, but he will be. I mean, he is going to be he's going to be out there. He's going to be working out some, you know, he's been practicing. It's not like he hasn't been playing football. So I think he'll be fine. But yeah, he doesn't have a big threat this week.
And sticking in Starkville, this is my last nugget here. But Joe Moorhead, he was also on the SEC teleconference today, and he was asked about, you know, what does he see himself coaching at the age of 78? And he was taken aback by the question. He was asked that because that's how old Kansas State Bill Snyder coaches, 78. So here's old Joe Moorhead on coaching at 78.
At the age of 78, Coach Snyder, do I see that? Ooh, that's a great question. I hope I'm still able to get up out of bed at 78. So if I'm coaching at that age, that'll be a great luxury.
All right, Shane, do you think you and I will be walking at 78?
Dude, I hope so. I hope I make the 78. So I'd like to see a normal day of Bill, you know, just see what he does, because as old as he is, he still looks good, man. He still looks like a young 60, you know. But hey, man, I saw an interesting stat today talking about Mississippi State, and I haven't like fact checked, but I mean I'm pretty sure this is correct. But did you know that Mississippi State hasn't beaten an outside conference Power Five opponent during the regular season since 1999? So if they're able to do it this week, this would be the first time they've done it since 1999.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I was not aware of that. But I would also think Mississippi State is one of those teams where, you know, they're on a different stratosphere right now, but plenty of times in the past, you know, it's probably a struggle for them to get to six wins. So they're probably not, you know, scheduling very tough games out of conference, I would think.
Yeah, well, just to put it in context, because I did do a little bit more research on this. 13, I'll just go back the last few years. 2013, they lost to 13th ranked Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
2009, 25th ranked Georgia Tech. So, it wasn't like the ones that they did have out of conference. They were at the time pretty good ball clubs. But I just thought it was interesting. I mean, that's a long time, man.
Yeah, that's a good note for this weekend. Thanks for giving me that one. All right, Shane, so that's all we got on the news front, but we thought, we didn't want to keep it too short, so we're going to just spitball a couple ideas at you here, and the one I came up with was, you know, after week one, I think not that perceptions of these teams change completely, but there will be a little bit, you know, some of these games down the line have got a little bit more interest based on what we saw week one. So after everything we saw from the SEC after week one, which game down the line looks more attractive to you now that you've seen these teams actually hit the field?
Well, I had a couple, man. My first reaction was Ole Miss Bama, you know, coming up. But I think people are catching on already to that one. So I kind of wanted to go a different angle. The one that kind of maybe under the radar but really stands out to me is the South Carolina Ole Miss game.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, you know, Georgia, obviously this is a big week for both those teams, but let's just say Georgia wins. They also have to play LSU, and they also have to play Auburn. Those are two teams that we didn't think were going to be as good as they showed week one. So it could make things interesting in the East, you know, because South Carolina, their toughest opponent other than Florida, and obviously Clemson doesn't matter as far as conference play, is the Ole Miss. And Ole Miss looked good, and you talk about a fun game that will be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two high-flying offenses. It might just be you know, a race to 50 points in that one.
Yeah, who gets the 50 first wins.
Now, for me, the one you kind of touched on it there, you kind of stole my thunder. Thanks for that, Shane. But LSU plays at Georgia October 13th, and based on what we saw from LSU, and keep in mind this was with Joe Burrow kind of playing basically a game manager role, while the talk is, you know, the teammates are buying in, Coach O's bought in. If Joe Burrow continues to progress by late, you know, mid-October, what have you, I think LSU could go into Athens and give Georgia a lot better game than I initially thought.
Yeah, for sure, man.
All right, James.
I guess I could expand it on that a little bit. I mean, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I tell you, man, that West, golly. That has to be the toughest division in college, period, you know. I mean, those top five teams, you put them in any other conference, they could be, you know, competing for the championship.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So, Shane, you came up with your own kind of idea here to just kind of close us out here, but we wanted to pick one player that we thought would kind of be a difference maker this week, which kind of emerges a little bit, if you will, and another player that kind of nosedives from preseason expectations. So who do you got this week, Shane, being a guy that really steps his game up?
Well, I don't know if you want to say steps the game up because he hasn't played yet, and that's Fitzgerald. I just think that sitting on that sideline, watching the backup do so well, and that's all they've heard all week, I think, you know, and as a team captain, he wants to win this team back over. I think they go up there to Kansas State, and they put a whooping on him. And I think he throws for at least five touchdowns.
Damn, that's a pretty bold take on the road, but I like it. We saw Keaton Thompson come in, and he threw for five and scored two more with his legs. So this offense is definitely explosive, the Joe Moorhead offense. So I could definitely see it. And from what I understand, Kansas State, I think they struggle to defend the pass. So that could be a good one. For me, the guy that I think is going to emerge, and this is obviously a name that diehard SEC fans already know, but I still think he's flying under the radar nationally, and with a huge game, I think what I kind of predict is going to happen here. I don't want to give too much away, but my guy is going to be DeAndre Swift. I think he's going to emerge as someone on the national scene following the CBS Game of the Week. Georgia out South Carolina. If he has a big game, I think more people are going to be coming around to DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think they were holding him back last week, so I think they're going to let him loose.
So what about a player to kind of fizzle out for you, Shane?
Well, sticking with running backs, and as much as I love to see him week one, is Travion Williams. There's a huge difference in Northwestern, Louisiana, and Clemson's defensive line, you know, and I think they're going to keep him in check. So I think that if Texas A&M's going to make a run at winning this game, they still got to rely on him. I don't think he's got it. I don't think the offensive line has it, and I think they're going to have their hands full this week.
And for me, because obviously I'm such a Gator hater, apparently I'm going with Felipe Franks, because I'm still not buying into that. You know, he's this touchdown machine. I think that said a lot more about Charleston Southern's defense. They're going up. They're still playing at home, so he's got that advantage. They're going up against Kentucky, which is definitely not a, I wouldn't say a stout defense at this point, but they've got some playmakers. So I think Felipe Franks takes a little bit of a step back on this one.
That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know how much faith I have in Kentucky's defense, but honestly, one of the games I'm looking forward to is just because I think we're going to learn more about those teams this week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should make for a good one. But that's all I got on this episode, Shane, unless you've got anything to close with.
Just one. You know, again, we appreciate everybody taking the time, the opportunity to rate and review our podcast. And, you know, there's some people that don't get on Twitter, and there's some people that don't have iPhones and do all that. And we still appreciate you listening. So, but we did get one, and it was on Reddit. And I don't get on Reddit that much, but a while ago, this person was asking about some SEC podcasts they should listen to. And somebody introduced them to us, and they replied to us today and said, "Hey, Mike and Shane, out of all the SEC podcasts I've tried out, y'all's was the one I stuck with and listened to on a daily basis. Every morning when I walk the dog, you discuss a lot on the show about ratings on iTunes, and today mentioned you don't get a lot of mailbag questions on Twitter. I don't have iTunes or a Twitter, so I'm wondering if y'all ever thought about using Reddit as a medium for info like PAPN does. Either way, I'll share my rating here. My rating, 5. Hey, buddy. Stars. Y'all are great, and I hope you keep this up for a long, long time. Let your listeners know what else they can do to support you and all your efforts." And this is from THGIRWA, Bulldog fan. And Mike, you were talking a little bit about something that you may do on Reddit.
Yeah, I think we're going to take that advice. We're going to start up our own Reddit page, so that'll be another outlet for people to listen to. And, you know, like the user said there, we appreciate all those kind comments. Just, you know, pass this along to your friends. Give them, you know, there's not a ton of SEC daily podcasts like this that I'm aware of. That's kind of why we're trying to fill that void. So anybody you know that you think would be interested in this, that don't want to listen to 3 hours of Feinbaum callers, give them our podcast, and we really appreciate it.
For sure, man, and appreciate, yeah, like you said, man, you nailed it. Dude, that was awesome.
That's what I do, Shane.
All right, Shane. You're in mid-season form already. I love it.
I think that's going to do it for me. I'll catch you on the next one, Shane, and appreciate all the listeners. If you made it this far, give us 5-star hearts on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.